Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. We are a wonderful community located in Midtown Atlanta and located all over the world. I'm coming to you live from Mexico and looking forward to our time together this morning. This is a place where you are welcome and honored and respected for who and what you are, regardless of where you've been or what you've done or how you've been there or how you've gotten there or who you are. We love and respect all people, regardless of race, sex, sexual identity, any of those things that typically separate people. We see them as things to celebrate, things to enjoy. As we come together today, we do so with an idea for celebrating life, celebrating a good idea, and finding a greater sense of awareness and knowledge. So if you will, take a moment, pay attention, and join me as we share together our Declaration of Principle. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love. I believe and creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all, and so it is. At this time each week, we celebrate and we invite one of our members who is a practitioner. A practitioner is someone who is well-trained and understands this teaching and how it works. They've demonstrated the ability to use it in their own lives to create something better, something greater, and also to do it with other people, to show other people how to do that, and also to do it on their behalf when they feel stuck or otherwise. This morning, one of our longtime practitioners and wonderful leaders of our center, Lee Huffman, will be sharing with you. Lee?
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. It's a beautiful day out here in Georgia. And I have a reading, and then I'll do a treatment. And the reading actually comes out of the book that a number of us have been studying again this year, the 365 Science of Mind. And it's a daily reading. And it's great to have a daily practice of reading and really getting centered with what the universe has for us. So this is actually from a future reading, the 19th, I think, of May. I don't know. I just picked one out and it came to me, May 19th. Page 150, if anybody's reading along. And I'll move this down so it doesn't look so weird. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 34:1. Ernest Holmes writes, love is God, and God is infinite, eternal, and omnipresent. Therefore, love is infinite, eternal, and omnipresent. I cannot escape love. I exist in love and of it. I live by and through it. It motivates my every action. Everything I see with the eyes of love. Everything I hear with the ears of love. I can imagine nothing but love at any time. Nothing but love and lovely things can come to me. I insist on seeing love in all things. The reality behind the seeming discord is love. To everyone I encounter, I definitely and purposely radiate love. I love my work. I love doing the things that come to me to be done. I appreciate the good that has been expressed to me. I do not want. I love into my experience the things that I desire. I wrap their expression to me in love so that they come harmoniously and with no strain. People love me. They love to work with me and to be in my presence. The God in them senses the loving nature in me. My office and my home are filled with love and harmony. They draw love and lovely things and people to them. Love enfolds me and mine at all times. That's what the daily readings are in this book. And this book has been an amazing influence on my life. Just having that daily practice is so important. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about spiritual mind treatment, which is, we say nothing more, but it is just an affirmative prayer. I say nothing more than affirmative prayer, but in reality, affirmative prayer is amazing. This prayer that affirms what we desire and what we know that God desires for us. Because God desires for us everything that we desire for ourselves. Spiritual mind treatment, or simply treatment as we call it, is actually a treatment on the mind of the person speaking it. It can be, if you wish, a treatment on your mind. So I will speak it, and you take whatever resonates with you. Because, as we said a few moments ago, all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. So I believe this will resonate with a number of people, and that I hope it does, and it helps you in your life. As I speak the treatment with my own words for my mind, then choose to accept any part of it that fits with you. Together through treatment, we will agree, and what we know and think upon will manifest. So let's get in a posture and mindset of prayer. Open ourselves up to receive the blessings that are coming to us. You may want to sit back, relax your body, open up your arms and legs, whatever makes you comfortable. I like to take a deep breath because it helps me become present in this moment. Hear this prayer and take any part of it that resonates with you and think on those thoughts. Know this with me if you will. There is only one God, one creator, one source, one first cause to everything that exists today. Everything that happens today, every blessing we receive comes from the one first cause. God is everywhere and in everything because it created everything. God is in me. God is in those around me. God is in all things around me. God is everything that happens in me, through me, around me, to me, and most of all, for me. Since God is love, since God is good, everything is love, and everything is good. Today I know that my world is full of blessings. Today I am truly blessed. Today I am thankful for all that I have and all that I am about to receive. I know that wonderful things are coming to me, even if I have not asked for them specifically. I know that because God is a father and God is a mother, to me, God, which is love, is loving and giving father and mother to me. All that I desire, all that I believe, all that I can see in my beautiful future is coming to me because I trust in God. I trust God to give it to me. I am blessed with health, peace of mind, confidence, substance, safety, amazing relationships, prosperity, a healthy mind, wonderful ideas, security, and many, many blessings, which are all gifts from the universe, all gifts from God. I know that nothing can get in the way of the blessings that I desire, because God is within me. I know that all health, security, personal and financial abundance, clarity, support, and other gifts of the Spirit are mine. I do not even need to ask aloud for these things because God knows my needs and has been preparing the way for these needs to be met from the moment I was conceived. I rejoice in all the blessings that I have, as well as those that are coming. I know that everything is unfolding as it should. I know that everything is unfolding as it should. I rejoice and I receive. I release these words into the universe knowing that my thoughts are creative and that they will create my personal experience. And together we say, and so it is. Such an honor to speak here today. Thank you all for coming and joining us, whether it be online, on later on the internet, or right now in this moment. The next song is absolutely amazing. It is I Claim a Blessing by Claudia Herwin.
I claim a blessing. It's a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful thought before you even get out of bed. Well, back when I was a teenager, I claimed a blessing. I claimed a blessing in learning to drive. And in those days, we didn't have any kind of automatic anything. We had an old beat up pickup truck, and I would learn to drive on a standard stick shift. And you can imagine how that might have gone. Start out learning how to manage the clutch and the gas pedal at the same time, pushing one and releasing the other, and jumping and jerking and choking it out and starting it up again. It was a pretty scary and uncomfortable process to begin with. And yet over time, like everything else or so many other things in life, I just kind of began to get the feel of it in my body. in my legs and in the moving and starting. Of course, I had to remember to steer while I was doing all that, which was sometimes had to take some reminding on the part of my family. But once I got it down, it was just, it began to be, without even thinking, you just do it. You just press the gas and release the brake, and you do it smoothly, and your car moves forward. The other thing, though, that's a big part of learning to drive is what to do with the brake. And my stepfather said, you know, taught very rigidly, you do not touch the brake with the same foot that you touch the clutch. I'm sorry that you touched the gas. I knew I'd get it wrong. Anyway, I did then too. I was learning in the process. But we would, you learn to hit the brake with that same foot you hit the clutch. So you can't put on brakes at the same time. I love that sometimes I get things completely turned around, and this time I did. The gas and the brake are the same foot. The clutch plays with the clutch all by its own foot. So you learn to switch back and forth. So you make that way you can be sure you're not ever putting on the gas and putting on the brake at the same time. Because when you do, you create all kinds of challenges and problems. That was the point of that whole story. You know, and later with automatic transmissions and people were learning to drive differently, many people were doing 1 foot for the brake, 1 foot for the gas. And it created lots of problems. If you've ever followed anyone who drives that way, you know that the brake light is on half the time, whether it needs to be or not, and whether it's really accomplishing anything or not. And life is like that. Life goes forward the same way. So often we live as if we have 1 foot on the brake and 1 foot on the gas. We get a great idea, we get a new idea, we're starting to move forward with something, and at the same time, we're dragging that other foot. We've got that foot riding the brake and keeping it from really lurching forward. Back in the days when I was first starting as a religious scientist and had my first practitioner, Reverend Karen Wolfson, she said, you know, I'm going to do this treatment, but you got to put on your seatbelt. You got to get ready. Because change is going to come, and it's going to come fast, and you're going to have to be ready to go with it. And I said, sure, I can do that. And then we went to work on some things, like what was I going to do in my career, and was I going to stay with what I had been doing all those years. And after about the third session with her, she came up with the analogy, not only do you have your foot, 1 foot on the gas and 1 foot on the brake, you got 1 foot in the boat and 1 foot on the dock, and the boat is pulling away. And I went, okay. And that was a perfect description of the position I had gotten myself into. Because so often we get into that place where we want the newness. We're excited about what's new in our lives, what's coming up. We're excited about the new job. We're excited about the new family. We're excited about life being richer and freer and healthier. And at the same time, our other foot is holding back. It's holding the brake. We're hesitation. We're hesitating. We're holding back and keeping the newness from really taking off and taking and getting going. We got 1 foot on the dock, one foot in the boat. And that's an awful position to try to be in for very long. And usually we end up letting go of one or the other and moving forward in whatever it is we're about. And newness is something we all have all the time. That tension, that piece of being in between the two, of holding a foot on the brake and a foot on the gas, or a foot on the dock and a foot in the boat, is what we are referring to as blessitation. It's recognizing the blessing, the goodness, the power of something new and different, at the same time feeling the hesitation that comes with it. You know what I'm talking about. It often shows up in almost everything. where you recognize the blessitation. You recognize the hesitation in the blessing. I made the decision a while back to come to Mexico for a visit for some time on the beach and to play around. And I appreciate your humoring my silliness earlier. As I spent time on the beach and spending time on the beach, I'm still here. I figured, why not? I work from home. We run the center from home. I do counseling from home. I do everything I do from right here in my house in front of this computer. Thank goodness for the internet. In the midst of COVID and with all this going on. And I made the decision, just get on an airplane and go. One of the airlines still has the middle seats empty, so you have some space and all of that. There was nothing to stop me. However, I found myself, even after I got my plane ticket, questioning, is it really the best idea? I'll miss my family. I just moved. I haven't settled in my apartment. Why would I go now when I really need to get that done? And yet the other side kept saying, yeah, but you know, it's going to be right there waiting for you when you get back. You can unpack in a few weeks as quickly and as well as you can unpack right now. It won't make any difference. So I chose to get on the plane and fly away, but not without that raising a lot of questions within me and hesitations. And those aren't necessarily all bad. Blessitation is the opportunity to really look at what is it I am concerned about? What is it I am believing in? And where am I putting my values and my loyalties? Are they toward a greater living? Are they toward a greater expression of freedom and life and love that Lee talked about so beautifully? All of those things, are they showing up? Am I celebrating them, enjoying them, allowing them? Blessitation, or the hesitation part of it, often shows up as a way to double check ourselves and make sure we're really ready for that which we say we want. You know, we get excited about something new, new community, new health regimen. How many times at the first of the year have you made a new health regimen and said, I'm going to lose weight this time. I'm going to walk more. I'm going to do more. And then hesitating. Or maybe you get started and then you hesitate a little later. You discover that maybe it's a lot more difficult than you thought, or a little more challenging than you were aware. But either way, it requires you to break old patterns. And those old patterns can create hesitation for you. New relationships, work, all those things, when we launch into them, what happens as soon as you make a choice about that is that the what ifs kick up. Now, you know, and I know what the what ifs are. What if this happens? You know, what if somebody on the plane with me has COVID, and oh my gosh, even though I've had the vaccinations, what if I get it anyway? What if I get down here and I don't speak the language and I have a lot of trouble and I can't take care of myself and blah, 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 you know? Or what if this decision to do this is wrong, just plain wrong, and I'm not up for it, or I don't think I should do it, or I made a mistake, or I'm missing something important? What ifs? The hesitation. You know what the what ifs are for you. You know? What if you just can't do it? What if I give it this is my biggest one, frankly. What if I give it everything I've got? Give it everything I've got, and I still fail. If I don't give it everything I've got, I hesitate a lot. Excuse me. And then I fail. Well, I just didn't try hard enough. That's very different than giving it your everything and then discovering that either you didn't know how, or there was more to know, or there was something else, or it just wasn't for you. That's a harder, clearer message, at least for me. I must be speaking the truth because my throat is suddenly closing up. So what happens? What must we do? What we must do is build. We must build our trust in life, in our own life, in the power of God's life in us, as us, and through us. The starting place for us always in Science of Mind is that God is all there is. Ernest Holmes says this. We have a wonderful quote for you today. The one encompasses and flows through all, spilling itself into numberless forms and personalities. Jesus' version of that was, the Father within me doeth the work. So when I am choosing the blessing, when I'm accepting that this is a good thing for me to move through and move forward in, it's because I recognize it isn't just me. It isn't just some separate idea I have that is somehow limiting or separating me from my good. Instead, it is the power of spirit itself, of life itself, of the one, the whole of everything, showing up through me, as me, in me. And if we spend some time really thinking about that, what if spirit's idea of me, God's idea of me, is to be loving and be loved? What if it's to do the work that I am so passionate about, I don't care whether I get paid or not, but I can count on being taken care of? What if that power moving through me in, that I am living in and having my beingness, is in perfect shape and form, and my body takes great care of itself, and I take great care of it in the process? What if that love and that relationship that I feel and desire and want and experience with others is really spirit moving through me, expressing its love? Not in some strange, wacky, woo-woo way, but just in the normalness of my loving, the reality of my doing things the way that I do them. That's the what if that matters. What if I'm really living in this amazing flow of energy and light and life? And everything I do, when I intention it and put my mind to it, flows through me. And I am not doing it alone or separate or divided in any way, shape, or form. You know, and the how of that, the what of that, is everything about what we believe we can do. Henry Ford has lots of quotable quotes, and one of them is that if you believe you can, and if you believe you can't, you're right. So notice those things that you have tried to do, or you want to do, or you think you want to do, and yet you don't believe you can really accomplish it. If that's going on, your first job is to get your foot off the brake. You got to get your foot off the brake and keep rolling so that you can find out if you can do it. Because as long as you believe you can't, you can't. And that's kind of simplistic. Man, is it powerful. I used to always use the excuse, I can't do that. That's just the way I am. When I was also that those teenage years. So my uncle backed me up against a tree because I was as big as he was and said, stop it. You can be whatever you believe yourself to be, whatever you dream yourself to be. My grandmother had been a student of Henry Thoreau and of all the transcendentalists and had taught him as well. And in spite of everything else looking like Baptist, that core ran through everything they taught me. And I decided maybe he was right. Because I wasn't getting anywhere complaining and whining about it all because they weren't paying attention to me. But I moved forward with it. So we say a lot of things in this teaching about something in me knows. If I don't know the answer to this, something within me knows. I affirm that because that energy, that one that in which I live and move and have my being, is always expressing. You can't shut it up. You can try. You'll make yourself really miserable and have to twist into all sorts of pretzel shapes in order to do that. But it's going to keep flowing through you. And you direct how it flows. Whether, was it another of Henry's quotes was, success comes in cans. So yeah, you can it. By moving forward. And where we start in this teaching is we start with that idea of the one. There is only one. And that one power is fueling everything. And yes, we live in a world that is where there's a great deal of conflict, where there's a great deal going on right now of bringing to the surface that which was hidden shall be known. It is all being known and we can't hide. We aren't allowing ourselves as human beings to hide anymore from the horrors that have gone on in the way people treat each other. But that doesn't change that it's one power that's revealing it, and it's one power that can bring about the change, and it's the one power that people use or misuse at times to avoid. And so we are walking through extremely transformative times right now. And they are so important. And it's so important that we latch onto the power of love, the power of truth, the power of seeing one another as expressions of the divine. And that's where we start. God is all there is. Spirit is all there is. And we are somehow connected with it. There's a oneness there. There's a unity there. Thomas Troward says the most important idea in life is working out what is the relationship between the infinite and the individual. When you get that down, when you get that understood, when it's understood rightly, the whole world opens up to you. The whole world unfolds to you. And you find yourself going places and doing things and living things and staying home even in ways that you never did before. You find yourself valuing what matters and getting really clear. And so we do this, God is all there is, and I am one expression of it. And therefore, I speak my intention and my truth and my reality as the power itself having word. That's what affirmative prayer is all about. That's what this whole spiritual mind treatment is all about. That's what the core of what we teach is really all about. And when you speak your word and you know you're speaking as the word of spirit, the word of God itself, then a moment comes where you suddenly realize what an amazing gift and blessing this is. It is handed to you, this rich gift of God itself working through you and knowing itself as you. There's no other response than gratitude, folks. I mean, really, think about it. Oh yeah, God does this wrong. What really works in us is a recognition that we are living this dream, this reality of life unfolding and creating itself, built in and based on the one power. And then there's nothing else to do but shout hallelujah and let it go. Let it go. Not worry about it. Not think about it. Not worry and frustrate and see if it's true or not. Get your foot off the brake and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. If you're having trouble with any of this, any area of your life that just isn't working right now, or that you're seeing all the turmoil in the world and you're frustrated beyond you can words that you can put together or know how to sort it out, please don't try to do that by yourself. None of us got to be who we are by ourselves. We were born in relationship. We have grown up in relationship. We have developed in relationship. Let us, in this movement, with practitioners, with prayer partners, with classes, with the things that can support you in understanding all this happening from a perspective that makes sense, that doesn't ask you to check your mind at the door, but invites you to bring your smarts, your intellect, your God expressing self to the picture. Call a practitioner. Reach out to our website. Reach out to me. Reach out to people and then reach out to one another. Because we are all in this together, like it or not. I absolutely like it. Because I spent enough of my life thinking I was alone. I don't need that anymore. Never have, really. Claim your blessing when you wake up in the morning. Set that intention. God is expressing in me, as me, through me. I am one with it, and this is the blessing I claim. Before you lift your head off the pillow, she says. Back in college, I went to my last 2 years of college in Kansas, and I went to a little college out on the prairie. Had a wonderful, wonderful experience there. But it was about 4 hours to Kansas City and to the bigger airport, which had cheaper flights. So it was my habit when I would fly back to Florida or back home or anywhere else to drive to Kansas City and catch a plane from there. So one particular trip, I was zooming along. I had a wonderful old 1954 Chevy, the big six banger, they called it, and with suicide doors, you know, the back doors open out to the front of the car. So it was a suicide if you ever had a chance to open them while you're flying down the highway, and it would go. And I was just, you know, that interstate across the state of Kansas was wide open and nobody on it much. And I made good time going to the airport. And this particular time I was zooming across and I got to the bridge over the Mississippi River at Kansas City. And it was at that time the interstate ended and this was just a regular bridge. It was still, I think, 4 lanes in each direction or something, because it was the only bridge at that point. But you came right from the interstate onto it, and then on the bridge itself, there were places on the other side where it was just you exited off to streets and things. So I was right in the middle of the bridge. The bridge was really long, flying along about 70, 75, like every good college student drives. And I looked out my window on the driver's side, and there was a tire all by itself running down the highway. It passed me. And then I recognized it. It was off the back of my car. And I went, holy Moses, that's my tire. Immediately, I could tell that the back right or back left corner of the car was sagging a little bit. And I thought, oh, crap. If I slow down, that thing's going to drop down and hit the pavement, and I'm going to be in big trouble out here in the middle of this bridge, running late for my flight. So I gunned it. I did not put on brakes. I put on the gas, and I kept going. I passed the tire. The tire finally wobbled off to the side, I think. And as I got to the other side of the bridge, where there was going to have to be a slowdown, fortunately, there was a gas station right there on the right side. I put on brakes to slide into that. I didn't really slide, but I came close. And of course, immediately, the back corner of the car dropped. The bumper hit, started dragging the pavement, which brought me to a very quick stop. But I was safe. I wasn't hurt. No one else was hurt. I got out, and the guys at the station were laughing at me because they could see what had happened to my car. And I told them what was up, that I was on the way to the airport, and I was about to miss my flight, and could they help me? So they said, sure, we'll help. They sent the wrecker out to the middle of the bridge to get the tire. All of the lug nuts had broken, so the tire had just come loose, whole thing, boom. So they kept the car in order to fix the wheel. They gave me a ride in the wrecker to the airport, and I made my flight. I got back a week later, and the car was ready to go, and I don't remember, it didn't cost me much. And they had stored it the whole time I was gone. I didn't have to pay parking that way. And it just turned into a really sweet deal. Now, I don't recommend that you lose your tire in the middle of the highway somewhere, but I do recommend that if you know who's with you, if you know that you are an expression of the divine through you, and I did at that time in my life. I had great faith. I was praying the whole way across, the rest of the way across the bridge. And had great faith that I would be okay regardless. And sure enough, I was. You can do that in your life. The trick is not to hit the brake. Because life will work out. Keep your foot off the brake. Join me, if you will, now in a few moments of silence and meditation. Big breath in, big breath out. Know with me that allow your mind simply to drift over any area of your life that comes immediately to the front, where you're putting on brakes, where you're in blessitation, where you see the value and joy of something, and yet the hesitation is perhaps equally strong. Ask yourself, what would it cost if you let go of the brake? The one power there is in you, as you, through you, in me, as me, through me. It is the very stuff of my thoughts, my feelings, and my life. In my depth and in my truth, I listen and listen and listen to that heart within me that beats with truth and reality. I question whether the brakes are about past traumas, past experiences, past fears. And if they are, I make the decision to let the past be in the past. To step fully and boldly into this moment, and from this moment into the future. With ease, with grace, with goodness. I allow the past. I value all the lessons I've learned from it. And I recognize that this one power within me knows no precedence. It starts brand new in this moment and creates according to my greatest idea myself. So I choose now, at least in one area of my life, one perhaps small one, just as a test, to take my foot off the brake. Give it the gas and see how my life will unfold with greater love, greater power, greater ease, greater joy, and a greater sense of being alive than ever. This is my truth. I let it be. And so it is. And so now we'll hear from Lee again as he talks a little about prosperity.
Thank you, Bob. That was wonderful. It's something that I needed to hear, and I'm sure a lot of other people need to hear at this time, where we're being blessed by so many things, but maybe putting our foot a little bit on the brake to slow things down when it's not necessary, when these blessings are coming to us for all kinds of wonderful reasons, and that we need to move into them and reach forward. And this center is a blessing to me. It is so good to connect here, whether it just be on Saturday, through the classes, through all the things that are going on. But the blessing can be poured back into the center, and a chance to support the center in all that it's doing as it spreads out around the world through the internet. And through the blessing of the pandemic, is an interesting way to look at it. Everything is a blessing. So if you put up the statement, there we go, affirmation. I couldn't remember the word affirmation, prosperity. We can speak this together as we think about what we can give to the center and what comes to us, because we are abundant. Together we can read it. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You can see there are ways. You can go to the website and at CSL Midtown Atlanta, and you can donate through the website. You can also send a check, and there are lots of ways to give to the center and support the center. So share that blessing. Back to Bob.
Here are some announcements. Next week, we're going to have a wonderful guest speaker. You've heard him before, Reverend Elisha. Get ready for a good time and some energy, high energy and excitement. He always brings a good message and a good idea. So look forward to that. And also, starting this Wednesday, will be a four-part series on the four areas of consciousness. Very few of us live in one single way of thinking all the time. Sometimes we feel victimized. Sometimes we think we are being hurt. Sometimes we think we've made mistakes. Sometimes we think we are the divine darling of the universe. And that's all of those different conscious aspects can be talked about, identified, and have spiritual practice to help move us through or on beyond them. So please consider this Wednesday night, weeks starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time, to share some ideas and get some good practice in for growing our own worlds, our own lives spiritually. As you know, our practitioners are always available to work with you and to let you know and to help you
find a better way of living with any area that you're stuck in or you feel stuck in. We also have it every Sunday at 10 o'clock, a discussion group where we talk about spiritual principles. But we have some readings to do all week, but I expect you to do them in order to come. There's a great deal of wonderful sharing and conversation that goes on at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Also on Tuesdays is a spiritual empowerment time for you to come and share what you would like to share, ask for treatment or affirmative prayer, and then be given opportunities to grow and to know a better idea and a better way to be. That's it for this week, and I look forward to sharing with you now our closing affirmation.
And so I have one more announcement first. Starting this Friday, we are going to be offering the 4T. Actually, Maya Fuller, one of our practitioners, is going to be offering it. Those of you who've been around a while know the 4T is an old prosperity program that's been updated and upgraded for the 21st century. It is one of the most solid and best programs I know for developing a prosperity consciousness and a consciousness that can really serve you from now on in terms of developing and growing that. It may change my life. Maya can be reached at myunlimitedgood@gmail.com. That's one word, myunlimitedgood@gmail.com, or her phone number, which is 910-670-5689. Now, she will be starting this on Friday, so you have from now until Friday to get in touch with her and sign up. So please consider that. You will be glad you did if you did, when you do. Thank you very much. So join me now in our closing affirmation. You will find this on the screen here in a minute. It goes like this. I leave this place now knowing something greater than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a wonderful week, everyone. I'll see you next week.